happen now. In cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, Gangbusters! Program that brings you authentic police case histories has asked John J. Sullivan, former deputy commissioner and chief of detectives, police department, city of New York, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Commissioner Sullivan.
Thank you and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Years of experience have taught police officers one useful factor about criminals. When more than one person is involved in a given crime, the chances of solving that crime increases. Tonight's case involves more than one criminal. It began at 11:40 p.m., the evening of June 15, 1953. Two men had just left a waterfront bar on New York's West Street and were walking through a deserted side street.
I am still worried about it, soldier. I think you make a big mistake.
Now look, it's over 6 months now. Everybody has forgotten, including the cops, so you'll forget it, huh?
It is not so.
Look, now, did the soldier ever steer you wrong? Did I?
No.
Well, and you listen to me, you stop worrying, huh? Okay? Well, here it is. What do you think, huh? Latest model with all the extras, including tubeless tires. Nothing too good for the soldier. What do you think?
A car like that cost a lot of money, soldier. I thought we were going to wait a year before we spend any of it.
Ah, 6 months is long enough. You worry too much. Come on, I'll give you a lift home.
No, I walk.
What's the matter? You even too worried to ride it?
Well, it's a nice night. I walk.
Okay, kid. You'll be around at the gym tomorrow,
huh? Oh, sure, soldier. I'll be there.
I really got it this time. This time we're going to make it right back up to the top.
Sure, soldier.
I see you tomorrow.
Carlos La Jolla continued on foot down the block. The district through which he walked consisted of small stores, junk shops, and some boarded-up dilapidated tenements. They were closed and the street empty, except for a black sedan that came slowly towards him and stopped by the curb.
You honking for me, mister? You want me? Help! Help! Help me!
Somebody, please, help me!
Shooting with no witnesses. A start from scratch. A local sector car on routine patrol discovered the wounded man on the sidewalk. An ambulance was called. Detectives Fred Bryan and Harry Gomez of the homicide detail took over from there. They went first to the hospital to talk to the injured man.
No identification?
Oh, nothing, Harry. The room's down this corridor. The doctor says it's okay to see him.
Then we don't even know his name.
Oh, yes, we do. Before they wheel him into emergency, he managed to get that much out. His name is Carlos La Jolla, L-A-J-O-Y-A. Gave his address as Dutton Street. I'm having Greenbaum check that.
The report I got before coming down here said two shots.
Yeah, that's right. One in the shoulder, the other, the mean one through the right lung. Slugs are on the way to ballistics right now.
How's he doing?
Not good. Doctor doesn't give him long. Well, this is the room, Harry, 318. La Jolla. La Jolla.
Madre. Mi madre.
He's calling for his mother. Carlos. We're trying to locate your mother now. Carlos, Do you know who did this to you?
No.
Can you tell us anything that would help?
Only one thing. The soldier.
Go on, Carlos. The soldier. What about him? The soldier is someone you know?
Si.
A friend?
Si. Friend.
Carlos, what's his name? His full name?
Tell the soldier. Tell him. Tell him before it is too late.
Go on, Carlos. Now try to finish. Better tell the doctor to come in, Harry. And the priest, too.
Carlos La Jolla never finished. All Detective Bryan and Gomez knew was that La Jolla wanted to send a message to a man named the soldier. With that slim information, they returned to headquarters, where Gomez proceeded to make a thorough check of the identification files. Other checks were set in motion to develop information on the dead man. Later, Gomez joined Bryan in the ballistics lab, where tests were being made on the slugs taken from La Jolla's body.
Here's the card on La Jolla.
Yeah, what does it show, Harry? Two arrests for petty larceny, one conviction. He was 18 then.
Mm.
Was given a suspended sentence and put into the custody of his mother.
Father?
Deserted the mother in 1934. Mrs. La Jolla brought her son to New York in 1935.
Sir Bryan Gomez.
What'd you find, Gordon?
Something really surprising.
Oh, like what?
Come over here to the table, see for yourself in the microscope.
Yeah.
Go on, have a look. Slug on the left is the one taken from La Jolla's lung.
Uh-huh.
As you can see, it matches the slug on the right perfectly.
Well, that should prove that both shots fired into La Jolla were from the same gun.
Yeah, we proved that right away. That slug on the right wasn't taken from La Jolla's body.
What do you mean?
I mean that slug on the right has been on file here for a long time.
Huh?
It was taken from the body of the night watchman who was killed in the Cutley Tooling Plant payroll robbery last November. What do you make of that?
KPPT-FM, Pasadena.
Three unidentified men had robbed the payroll of the Cutley Tool Manufacturing Company, an outfit occupying a four-story loft-type building near New York's Market District. Detectives Bryan and Gomez dug out the file on the Cutley holdup and discovered that the night watchman had been found dead, a bullet through his back. A bullet was the only connection between the murder of Carlos La Jolla, a murder seemingly without a motive as yet, and the $43,000 tool company robbery. They continued trying to put the pieces together. The next step was to visit La Jolla's mother to find out what they could about her son. They found her rocking in the combination kitchen-living room of a cold water flat on Dutton Street.
Los ojos están secos. Ojalá que las lágrimas vinieran.
What's he saying?
She says the eyes are dry.
Would that the tears would come.
Ni dinero, ni salud, ni felicidad. Solamente mi hijo. Y ahora ni él tampoco.
She says she had nothing, only her son. And now he's gone.
Yeah. Ask her about the soldier.
Señora, ¿conoce alguien que es soldado?
Se llama el soldado.
Un amigo de su hijo?
Sí, un amigo.
He calls himself the soldier. He was a friend of her son's.
Oh. Solamente un apodo. Está loco por golpear otros hombres.
What's he say then?
He likes to beat people.
Pelea ya en la arena con otro hombre. Se combaten para ganar dinero.
Well, he fights in the arena with another man. They beat each other for money.
Oh, a prize fighter.
Yeah. Soldier's a common enough nickname for pugs. Mm-hmm.
Toda mi vida. Toda mi vida enseñé a mi hijo ser bueno. No hacer daño a otros.
All my life I taught my son to be good and not to hurt others.
Look, Harry, you want to stay around here with her for a while?
Yeah, sure.
When she calms down, maybe she can give you some sort of description of this soldier character. Try that anyway.
Where'll I catch up to you?
Well, I'll be at the Cuffley Tube plant. I'm sorry, Mrs. Ahoya. I'm very sorry, ma'am.
I'm afraid she doesn't understand.
The office of the Cuffley plant was on the ground floor and separated from the factory portion by some grimy, thin partitions. A telephone operator doubled as a receptionist. She wore a large diamond ring, and a mink stole was thrown around her shoulders.
Excuse me, miss. My name is Brian. I'd like to see Mr. Cuffley, please.
You have an appointment with Mr. Cuffley?
Well, I'm a detective, homicide squad.
Homicide? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't look like a policeman. Well, what's it all about?
Well, look, lady, I asked to see Mr. Cuffley.
You're not very friendly, are you? Just a minute. Mm-hmm. There's a detective, Brian, here to see you.
A detective? That's
what he says.
All right. Tell him I'll be with him in a minute or two.
He'll be with you.
In a minute or two, thanks.
I'll keep you company in the meantime. What are you staring at?
Well, I was just admiring that diamond ring you're wearing. It's quite a stone.
Oh, that. Oh, Mr. Cuffley gave it to me. The mink stole, too.
Nice Christmas bonus from the boss, huh?
A gift. From my husband. I'm Mrs. Cuffley. You see, the regular girl's on an errand. I'm just sitting here.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cuffley. I guess I stepped out of line.
Well, you don't hear me complaining, do you? And the first name is Ruth. You can call me by my first name.
Why?
Oh, you're not too friendly, are you?
Well, I'm just a little tired to be a clever conversationalist. You see, I haven't had any sleep lately.
Working, I presume.
Working.
You know what they say about all work and no play.
I like it to be all work.
Oh, you expect me to believe that?
Look, Mrs. Cuffley, I came here to see your husband.
Well, is that any reason you can't be friendly? I always thought a police officer was a servant of the people. You know, I might have to call on you sometime for help.
Yeah, any phone operator will give you the number.
I mean your home number.
You have to ask my wife.
Will you come in now, Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Nice talking to you, Mr. Bryant.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's all right. Your wife saw to it the wait wasn't too dull, Mr. Cuffley.
Oh, sit down.
Thank you.
I want to rush you, Lieutenant, but I'm very busy today.
Well, I won't take up too much of your time, sir. It's about the payroll robbery you had here.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Well, that robbery was 6 months ago. You've pretty well written it off by now.
Well, we haven't. According to the records, your night watchman was murdered and $43,000 stolen. How do you write that off?
Look, Brian, how long is this going to keep up? Every time I get settled down to work, another cop comes in here, starts asking questions, disturbing our routine, upsetting my employees. You fellows have had 6 months. You haven't come up with a thing. 6 months you've been bothering us. Now, why don't you leave us alone?
And Mr. Cuffley, can you afford to lose $43,000?
We're insured. I don't get it unless you have something new, Brian.
We have something new.
Oh? Well, why didn't you say so?
You see, a man was murdered last night just off West Street. Not far from here, as a matter of fact.
I don't see what that has to do with our payroll robbery.
Well, you don't have to. That's our job. Now, here. Have a look at this photo, will you? You recognize this man?
No, I never saw him before. What's he done?
He got himself killed. Named Carlos La Jolla. That name mean anything to you?
Not a thing.
Hmm. He had a record, 2 arrests for petty larceny.
It's a long jump to a $43,000 payroll robbery.
Maybe so, maybe not. We're going to find out. We're going to need your help.
I just don't get it. A man is found dead.
Murdered.
And just because it's near here, you think there's a connection?
Now, look, Mr. Cuffley, are you going to help us?
What can I do?
Well, I'd like to show this photo to all your employees, see whether any of them know La Jolla. Now, how about it?
All right, get our foreman on it right away. I'm sorry, Brian, if I got worked up. As you know.
Oh, excuse me.
Certainly.
Yes? This is Detective Gomez. Is Brian still there?
Oh, yes, just a moment. It's for you, Brian. Detective Gomez?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Harry?
I got a description of Carlos' friend from Mrs. La Jolla and sent out an alert. We got a quick return. Phillips just radioed in. He's located our boy.
Oh, which one?
The soldier. His name is Wally Revlock. Fights under the name of Soldier Revlock.
Yeah, where'd they locate him?
At the Diamond Gym, a training place for fighters. Better let Phillips bring him in for questioning, eh?
No, I got a better plan. Keep an eye on him, and I'll meet you there in 10 minutes. I know the place. We'll do our questioning there, okay?
Okay. You having any luck where you are?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Something new?
Well, there's always something new. I have to go now, Mr. Cuffley, but I'll be back to check on that photograph. Leave it with you.
I'll get right on it, Brian. Once again, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. By the way, did you ever hear of a man named Revlock, Soldier Revlock?
That's an odd name.
He's a fighter. You ever hear of him?
No, I don't follow the fights. Why?
You know how we are, Mr. Cuffley. We police. We just keep asking.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. Tomorrow night on CBS Radio's Amos and Andy show, Kingfish's ever-loving wife, Sapphire, gets tired of waiting for Kingfish to get a job and takes one herself. Swelling with pride over his wife's sudden affluence, Kingfish does his part. Buys her a wardrobe consistent with her new position. What happens next, we'll hold back until tomorrow night. Don't miss the fun on the Amos and Andy show on most of these same stations every Sunday night. And now, back to Gangbusters.
That soldier Revlock, that little guy punching the bag over the corner. Come on.
My day's trainer.
Yeah.
Gotta be ready when the call comes, you know. You gotta have the hands hard and good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Hands, mister, it's all in the hands. That's the old bread and butter. Gotta hand me that sour when you place it.
Yeah,
thank you. So what is it you... what you want to talk to me about, mister? Fight, huh? Notice my style, huh? It is. It's about a fight, isn't it?
It's about a killing.
Killing?
Yeah, we're police officers now. Did you know our Carlos La Jolla?
Carlos La Jolla?
Yeah, I know him.
Why, you ask?
He's dead.
Yeah, I know. Carlos was a great kid. Best.
What else do you know, Revlock?
Oh, like I said, he was the best. He used to work out with me when I couldn't afford a sparring partner. I'd like to get my hands on the one who did it. I'd kill him, so help me, even if you are cops, I'd kill him with these here hands.
Yeah, La Jolla mentioned your name just before he died.
He did?
Yeah, he wanted us to give you a message, but he never had a chance to finish it.
What kind of message?
Well, you tell us.
Beats me. I wouldn't know.
You ever hear of the Cufflink Tool Company?
Cufflink?
Right. They make machine parts.
Oh, I never heard of them. I'm a fighter. I don't know anything about machinery except these here hands of mine.
Well, you said before that La Jolla worked out with you when you couldn't afford a sparring partner.
That's right. He was a good boy, cuz.
But you can't afford a sparring partner now.
Well, I got my hands on some money.
How?
An old friend lent it to me.
What's your friend's name?
His name's Jerry Boone.
Suppose we check with Boone.
Well, you can't. Jerry died 3 months ago. You can check on that, though, if you don't believe me.
Why shouldn't we believe you?
Well, asking so many questions like, yeah, acting like maybe I did something wrong.
Have you?
What, done something wrong?
Yeah.
Now, me, I always stay out of trouble. I live a clean life and take care of myself all the time. Got to if I'm going to be ready when the call comes, you know. I'd be ready, go in, you know, nice and trim. You got to have the hands in shape there. I'd be set, you know, for my comeback. Hey, look, give me one right here in the gut. Go ahead. Go ahead, hard as you could. See how I can take it. Go ahead.
And nobody's in good enough shape to take a slug in there, Revlock.
Slug? Old one heard me. I never did anything to anybody.
Did Carlos Lahore?
He's just nice kid as far as I know.
And that's all you know?
That's all, mister.
There was no doubt in the minds of Detectives Brian and Gomez, Gangbusters listeners, that Soldier Revlock knew more than he was telling. They decided to play a waiting game and keep the soldier under surveillance. Sometimes this pays off. A few hours later, Ryan was sitting at his desk, catching up on a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
About the sandwich, Fred.
What? Phillips just called in on Revlock. Someone shot him in his rooming house.
Well, I thought Phillips had that all staked down.
Yeah, so did I. Says he went for a glass of water, took only a minute, heard a shot, and rushed back. Nobody but Revlock lying on the floor, plugged in the stomach.
No.
Phillips thinks the guy went up the stairs and over the roof.
How's Revlock?
Not good. Ambulance is on the way. You ready to roll?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Brian and Gomez beat the ambulance to Revlock's rooming house. A crowd had gathered in the street, and the hallway was full of milling residents.
All right, everybody. Phillips, clear the hall and shut the door.
Revlock. Who gave it to you, Revlock? Who did it?
I don't know.
Did you get a look at him?
The punch I got, that was mean. That was awful. Sneaky mean. I'm dying, ain't I?
The ambulance is on its way. Be here in a minute. Now look, Revlock. Who pulled the Cuffley payroll job? You did, didn't you? Tell us.
I did, yes.
Who else was with you? You didn't pull it alone. Who?
Carlos Lahoya.
Who shot the night watchman? Do you hear me, Revlock? Who shot the night watchman? You or Carlos?
No. The other one.
The other one?
He shot me, too. He pulled that rabbit punch on me.
Revlock, you mean the same man that shot the watchman shot you? Now, what's his name?
It's Roy.
Roy.
That's all I know. It's just Roy.
Did Cuffley know anything at all about the stick-up? He's fading, Frank. Yeah, I see that. Revlock, did Cuffley set up his own robbery?
Cuffley. Yes. Cuffley.
And Roy worked for Cuffley?
We all worked together. For Cuffley.
Here comes the ambulance. Yeah. Revlock, do you know where this Roy lives? Revlock, can you hear me? He's gone, Frank. We've lost our witness.
I know.
Well, Detective Bryan, how nice to see you again.
Is it? Is your husband in, Mrs. Cuffley?
How do you like my new coat, Mr. Bryan? You're always so observant.
Well, that's a detective's job, Mrs. Cuffley. It's pretty fancy, I'd say. Must cost a lot of money. Now, will you tell your husband we want to see him?
I'm sure he'll be glad to see you.
Perhaps.
Come along. Detective Bryan again, dear. I'll see you again, I hope, Mr. Bryan.
You might, Mrs. Cuffley.
Come in, gentlemen. Close the door.
Yeah, this is Detective Gomez, my partner.
Oh, glad to meet you.
Thank you.
I had my foreman check the entire plant personnel on the photograph that you left with me. No one here recognized that man, what's his name? Lahoya?
Yeah, Lahoya. Carlos Lahoya. Nobody, huh?
I wish I could be more helpful.
Well, we can't win all the time. Harry asked him a $64 question.
Something else?
Yes, do you have an employee named Roy? Does that first name mean anything to you?
Roy, what? We probably have quite a few Roys on our payroll. You'll have to tell me more than that, gentlemen.
Well, perhaps this guy's not on your payroll. Let's see, he's a friend. Business acquaintance.
I don't get you, Brian.
Now, look, Cuffley, here it is. A man named Roy shot your night watchman 6 months ago at the time of the payroll robbery.
I wouldn't know.
And this Roy probably shot Carlos Lahoya.
I told you, I don't know this Lahoya.
That's what you told us.
Why do you ask me all this? I don't know anything.
And this Roy took a shot at a fighter named Soldier Revlock just an hour ago.
Why tell me all?
Because Soldier Revlock told us that he, Lahoya, and Roy were all hired by you to hold up your own payroll, Cuffley. Now, come clean.
This soldier told you that?
He did, just an hour ago. Now, Cuffley, you are into this thing up to your neck. You might as well come clean. How about it? How about it, Cuffley?
All right. I planned the robbery. My wife kept asking me for money. I didn't know the watchman would be killed.
Uh-huh. And after the job was pulled, you were afraid of the soldier in La Jolla. Afraid they'd talk, especially the soldier after we'd been to see him. That's why you had this Roy kill him, wasn't it?
Roy killed the soldier? But you said he spoke to you.
Before he died, Cuffley.
Then you haven't got a witness. The soldier is dead.
We haven't got Roy either, Cuffley. But we've got you for a starter. Now, come on.
A thorough investigation of Henry Cuffley's affairs, gangbusters listeners, revealed that before the robbery, he had been in serious financial straits. The insistent demands of his extravagant wife caused him to plan the robbery and the subsequent cover-up murders. Cuffley revealed to the police that Roy's last name was Packham. Packham was apprehended within 48 hours and confessed to the dual murders. He was sentenced to execution in the electric chair. Henry Cuffley was also electrocuted for his complicity in the murders.
Thank you, John J. Sullivan, former Deputy Commissioner and Chief of Detectives, Police Department, City of New York. And now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention, Gangbusters listeners. Aaron Harry Gordon is wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement for the crime of murder. Listen carefully to his official description.
Aaron Harry Gordon, age 52, 5 feet 5 and 1 half inches, 145 pounds, short build, dark chestnut hair, blue-green eyes, fair complexion, may seek work as a house painter. This fugitive is blind in left eye, has heavy eyebrows and nose is broad and ridge. He is an amateur wrestler, a proficient still life painter and portrait painter.
Caution! Gordon may be armed and should be considered dangerous. If you have any information concerning this clue, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was written by Edward J. Adamson and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Louis Van Ruten, Scott Tennyson, and Will F. Zuckert in leading roles. This production was supervised for CBS Radio by Jerry Danzig. Gaylord Avery speaking. And Jeff Team on Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord. Time and tide wait for no man. The same thing could be said about news. It doesn't wait on anyone's convenience. What does help is having your radio handy at home, in your car, wherever you are, and tuning in the strategically spaced news broadcasts of CBS News, daytime and night. The greatest names in news reporting, fed by a worldwide staff of eyewitness observers, keep you up to the minute at all times. Make CBS Radio your headquarters for top reporting.